All right, we will start our media availability. We are now joined by Vice Chairman of Hendrick Motorsports, Jeff Gordon. We'll open it up. We'll start with Jordan Bianchi.
Coming in,
This is Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Jeff, a lot of conversation this past, to start the year has been Hendrick Motorsports not winning and Toyotas and this and that. Does Hendrick Motorsports need to hit the panic button? Do you, when you hear all this conjecture, where do you stand on that? Or is it, was it you guys concerned in the camp, or is this just part of the process of going through the, a new body?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of the part of the process, but I mean, we had a lot of discussions that, you know, I hate it when we go through stuff like this, but we've been through this before, and I love to see us react when we go through this, you know, because it brings you closer together, you know, you lean on your tools more, you get back to the basics. So I'm not saying that's what did this today. Today, this is Martinsville, and we've run, you know, good here in the past, and it's less of a narrow track. We know that this new body or whatever, you know, the upgrades, they show a lot of potential, but that doesn't always mean it's just automatic and how you extract it. And, it's definitely a bit of a balance change. So we're working through that. But if you look at, you know, the places we've run good this year, we had good notes and ran solid at those places last year, places that we didn't, we haven't. And so, our competitors have stepped up. I mean, I think you look at, you know, Ford in the areas, places they've been good, you know, they've stepped up. Toyota's been solid and consistent with Gibbs and 2311 pretty much every weekend. So you got to give credit to them where credit's due. And all that does is make us work harder and come together stronger. And it's a long season. So, you know, we got a lot of fighting to do, and today just feels good. You know, it feels good to pull this off, and in the way that the 9 team pulled it off, you know, taking some risk, executing, and then, you know, Chase getting after it when he needed to. So that just, that it's always nice to reassure yourself of days like today that you can get it done, even as we're searching a little bit in some of the other areas.
You talked about days like this, and Alan is sometimes, by Chase's fans, is not the most popular guy sometimes, fair or not.
Well, he's my favorite.
And so do you hear, when you hear noise like that, do you just ignore it? Because Chase obviously defends him adamantly, and this is his guy. And so do you just ignore that stuff?
I hope so, because, I mean, one, and I get to say this because Alan was my crew chief, and you know, I love this guy. I love the work and the effort he puts in, how smart he is, the team he builds. But nobody's a tougher critic than he is of you know, the team and their performance. So luckily, I don't even think – you're not even on social media, right? So yeah, but you know, you've always seen this, right? It's, you know, whether it's Dale Earnhardt Jr. or Chase Elliott, whoever is, you know, the popular driver in the series, there's a lot of critics that want to sit on the sidelines and evaluate it, and you cannot let that tear you apart. You know, you got to keep strong in the inside and know and believe in yourself and believe in your team and all the things you're doing, and that's what Alan and Chase, you know, that's what they fall back on.
Alan Gustafson, winning crew chief, has also joined. We'll continue in the second row.
Nate Ryan, Associated Press. I have one for both you guys, both the same topic. I'll start with Alan. You mentioned the call from Rick Hendrick this morning. Was that? Can you just give us the details? Like, was that on the way here? Does he do that often? What did he tell you?
Yeah, no, he doesn't do it. I mean, he does it. He doesn't do it extremely often. But, yeah, it was nice to get a call from him, and he just basically, you know, just – was super positive and wanted to reiterate, and he really wanted me to deliver a message to the team, and he was in our meeting at Darlington, so I think it was kind of fresh on his mind, so he wanted me to deliver a message to the team that his, you know, kind of quote from him was, you know, this is a marathon, it's not a 10K race, and we're in it for the long run, and regardless of, yeah, the way it starts, it's about the way it finishes, and you know, he wanted to take as much pressure off as us as possible and just basically say, yeah, that he has a lot of confidence in what we can do and what we can do together, and ultimately, yeah, go out and have some fun and don't focus on any of the noise and focus on what we can control. So it was just nice to hear from him, and it's always a good message. He's the master of knowing what to say at the right time. He's better than that by far than anybody I've ever met in my life. So it's just good to hear from him.
Was that on the way here? Were you?
It was. He actually, if I'm telling on myself, he called me when I was packing my suitcase and I didn't answer. So I was like, shit, I better get on it. So as soon as I got in the car, I called him right back.
And for Jeff, obviously, Rick's leadership style for 3+ decades. I mean, how many times have you gotten calls like that? And was there a sense, I guess, this season with the way it started that you and him and other leadership at Hendrick sort of had to keep everybody pumped up that it wasn't the end of the world?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I love about his style is that he mixes it up. He'll surprise you. Some days he will just get fired up and you like kind of are speechless and go, we better get to work. And then there's the days where you think you're going to get that and he is calm and just positive and supportive and what do you guys need? And like Alan said, he's just a master, and he's amazing. And his experience level of being in business and how important the people are. He knows how to read a room. He knows how to read people, and he knows how to motivate them when they need it most. Sometimes that's a kick in the butt, and sometimes that's just support. Listen, he wants it bad. Nobody's more competitive than he is. But it's just always interesting to see how he views it and how he feels, the team, what the team needs best.
We'll go up front to Jeff.
Hey, Alan. So you guys bit with 1:38 to go, and a lot of the chatter was like, no, we're not going to take the bait yet. Like, we need to stay out 30 to 40 more laps. I guess they were just trying to split the whole stage in half. So you were going to run yours out and then pit with, what, maybe like 80 to go or something like that?
I think the runs. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just wondering your strategy, yeah.
Yeah, so it would, I think it was like 78 lap runs or something like that, the exact number. I came too early from what, the two-stop, split would be. So yeah, I think for us, it's a pretty dynamic thing because for Denny, it was probably mathematically faster to run it to one stop because he had track position and he had clean air. And then for us, we were kind of teetering, was it going to be better or not going to be better? And then I had a lot of confidence that most people were going to try to one stop it. And I just felt like we had to give ourselves a shot and do something different. Right. And try to give ourselves an opportunity. I think probably where it turned a little different is, when we pit, everybody basically at that time then has the same track position relatively. Right. I mean, you're all spread around the track. So that advantage that the leaders had, it was diminished. And when we pit, our lap times, I think were really pretty good. And our fall off was less than expected or less than the guys had run that run before. So as soon as those guys who are going to one stop then start shorting that by significant amounts of laps, that's playing to our hands, right? Because then they've got to run a lot longer, and mathematically they're then going to be worse. From where the majority of the people stopped, I think for anyone that would have been better to two-stop it. So the flip side of that is caution exposure. You don't expect anyone – I don't think anybody in the top five, their cars were going to be good for long runs, and they were ultimately going to be able to one stop it and minimize the exposure of the caution coming out and being trapped a lap down. So it was really not going to work. If I'm in their spot, I'm doing the same thing, right? You just don't want to take that caution risk. But where we were, we were probably right around the position that it makes sense to take that risk. Maybe a little further than us. If I was a little further up, it would have been worth doing. But, at the same time, you can't sit on your hands and run 10th. So you got to do something, right? So I think that was the best shot.
I was just going to add, I was sitting on the 5 box. So, I was listening to Cliff and some of the discussions that they were having. And they had not planned to do, the two-stop, if you want to call it that. And and then they kind of shorted it, and then it drug everybody, right? So because they came a little earlier, and I don't remember where they were sitting, sixth, seventh, and I think they were struggling a little bit with some rear tire wear and grip, and then all of a sudden, you know, that brought everybody in, which again played into to their hands. Wasn't the plan? It's just I thought that was interesting.
Right here in the middle.
Dr. Deandra, building speed. Alan, you've been a crew chief for a long time, and you have a lot more tools now. You've got access to pit row. You've got people back in the war room. I'm wondering, first of all, how much of the decision to short pit was data-driven and how much of it was your gut? And secondly, is it more fun or less fun having all that data being a crew chief?
So I'll answer the first one. So, I mean, if it's a clear, you know, mathematical advantage, then, you know, that's what everybody's really going to do. I think in this case, so in our world, it's hard to quantify what we would call passing friction or what it would take to get, you know, if you're out there just running by yourself, then it's pretty easy to model. But when you're out there having to pass cars and what laps are on their tires, you know, where you come out on track, that all gets a little bit difficult. So in this situation, Luke Mitchell, who is my race engineer at home, who does a great job with strategy, you know, we just continue to communicate about it, and you know, he told me that it was close, and ultimately felt like that it was a safer play to one stop it, and then I asked him to go do some other calculations based on, you know, really our fault, not the leaders, in some different scenarios, and then he's like, yeah, you know, it's probably a couple seconds faster, and that was just enough. Then for me to say, yeah, you know, it's worth, we have to give ourselves a shot. So, and as far as I enjoy, the data's great. I really enjoy it. And I enjoy, you know, working on those problems together with the team and being able to have dialogue and be able to really be innovative. You know, to be honest, I think that is something that our sport needs a lot more of. You know, I think the strategy is one of the few things left that we have that you can do that on. You know, everybody's pace is so close, and, you know, us winning the race is a perfect example of that, right? I mean, if you look at statistically, we're probably, you know, 10th, 12th fastest on the day, but you put that car in clean air, and all of a sudden, you know, you can go win the race, and I think that would probably have been true for a lot of the guys who, are running up there. I think that we need to have a way to just be able to get teams some more opportunity and drivers more opportunity to have advantages.
Third row right in the back, middle.
Zach Tanzaretti, KickingTheTires.net. Jeff, we heard recently that a Hollywood writer was speaking with drivers about the Days of Thunder sequel. Of course, you know Tom for a long time. Are there any updates you can share on the project or any conversations you've had so far this year?
Yeah, I don't have any new updates or insight. I mean, I just assume that whatever was taking place was building, you know, a storyline or some characters or, you know, something to go do, maybe some sort of a pitch, you know, to some studios or whoever. I don't really know a whole lot more other than that, but I'm certainly optimistic and hopeful I saw Tom one or 2 years ago, and he actually brought it up then, and we were just laughing about it, and then he's like, no, I'm serious, like this is going to happen. So when Tom Cruise says that, you take it serious. But we'll see. But yeah, that'd be exciting to see the sport be able to be a part of that.
We'll go to TV right here.
Christian Gladney, ABC 45 News. This question's for you, Jeff. You kind of talked about the new package and the tire wear, being able to see, you know, a race under the belt. Can you kind of walk me through how it unfolded, not just for Chase, but for the rest of the guys? And, you know, having won here 9 times, you kind of know the legacy that this kind of track has for being tough to pass. Walk me through what you thought of the racing with this new package and tire wear.
It's a lot tougher today than it was when I was driving, I feel like. You know, the cars are all just so close. You've got quality teams, quality drivers, quality, you know, pit crews. And then, you know, I was always interested. A guy named Ken House used to work at Hendrick Motorsports. Some of you definitely know who that is. But we've had a lot of conversations over the years about underbody aero versus over the body and what that might do in a stock car and an oval. And even though we have it now, I'm still a little undecided on it, to be quite honest. You know, these cars are just so affected by every little piece, and it's just fine-tuned so much that it's hard to get an advantage. But, you know, Goodyear, I'll give them a lot of credit. They're working hard to get a tire that lays rubber and falls off, and even though maybe these conditions it didn't fall off as much as some guys would have liked to have, the effort is certainly being put there. And then it goes back to what Alan's talking about, you know, where the strategy and what happens on pit road, some of those calls being so critical to the outcome of a race that, you know, that keeps it exciting and fun.
Any final questions? Yeah, we'll go back up front to Jeff.
Yeah, so, I mean, winning this early in the season, that's big. I mean, what do you think that does for your confidence and momentum?
So Chase told me this is the earliest we've won. I guess that's true. I mean, my response to him was it's going to be a nice off week. So that's probably the best thing right now. Winning is special. Like it's always such a huge accomplishment to win these races. And then it's, you know, energy and enthusiasm and confidence that brings to, you know, not only the 9 team, but the shop in general I think for me, this one, I'm rambling a bit, but just not winning on our own terms, you know, that was not, you know, it wasn't like we were the guy who should have won the race. If you're looking at my paper, like and that message is strong, right? Because ultimately, when you know you can win from, you know, 10th or whatever position, if you just continue to hammer away and do everything you can to give yourself a shot, I think that's a strong message and a lesson for us. And I think that'll help us out as we go through the season.
And we'll end with Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Alan, when this new format went into place, the Chase, a lot of people pointed to the 9 team as this being a really big benefactor because year in and year out, look at average finish, you guys are typically near at the top. You guys do a really good job of stage points. So when this changed, what were your thoughts on that? And did you feel like this benefits you guys maybe more than anyone else?
I like the change for sure. Not for selfish reasons, just because I know having raced, you know, that 10 race, you know, at the time, the toughest to me was a 10 race, 10 team playoff scenario. And having raced that, you know, that was really, I felt like the best indication of the best team. And when the change happened, I felt like that was the same, you know, I felt the same way that was ultimately going to be a better indication of who's the most deserving champion. I think that, the old format was really exciting and there were some cool things about it. And there was some, you know, jackpot kind of wins or however you want to describe it. But, I just feel like, like today, like you just see, there's so many circumstances that go in and in any given time that it can change the outcome of the race. So I think it's nice to have, 10 weeks. And I think that we are great suited to win either. But if I'm choosing, I like this.
All right. Congratulations.